Chapter 60. After riding most of the night, Kylar camped a short distance off the road, merely unsaddling Tribe and throwing a blanket on the ground. A few hours later, Tribe's snort woke him. Kylar blinked and rolled to his feet.
"So, you haven't forgotten everything I taught you,"
a brown-clad figure said, leading his horse to tie it next to Tribe.
"Master?"
Kylar asked. Deviriamen Kobrumezi Wakazari snorted. It was odd to hear the sound, so characteristically Durzo, coming out of the Imuri's mouth. He glanced at retribution in Kylar's hand.
"Good. I see you haven't managed to lose it again, yet. See that you don't, would you? You ready to ride?"
Kylar felt an odd excitement. He did feel ready to ride. The overflow of energy from his invocation of immortality hadn't worn off yet.
"I'm not dreaming this, am I?"
he asked. Devi lifted an eyebrow.
"There's one way to find out for sure," he said.
"What's that?"
"Go piss in the woods. If you feel wet and warm afterward, wake up."
Laughing, Kylar went and relieved himself. When he came back, Devi was seated cross-legged and had laid out a huge, albeit cold, breakfast. Kylar tore into the food with gusto that surprised himself, though apparently not Devi. The scene still had an air of unreality, though, and Kylar kept glancing at him. Finally, the Imuri said,
"If you're looking for Durzo's mannerisms, you're going to see fewer and fewer of them. I don't chew garlic anymore, for one, and I'm getting rid of the rest as fast as I can. A new face isn't much good if you still do everything else the same. I have done this a few times, so if you need me to prove who I am, let's get it over with."
"There is one thing Durzo told me that he never told anyone else. You've had all these names, and you always picked something with meaning. Ferric Fireheart, Galen Starfire, Rothen Steelbender. Even the other wet boys had names that meant something. Hugh Gibbet, Scarred Rabble. Why Durzo Blint? Is that another old Jaren pun?"
Devi laughed.
"Trick question. I never told you why I chose it. But to answer, it was supposed to be Durzo Flint. I was drunk. Someone repeated it, Blint, and I didn't care enough to correct them. Next."
"Flint makes a lot more sense, you old bastard."
"Only by nature, not by birth. Anything else?"
Kylar got grim.
"What does immortality cost?"
"Right to the gut, huh?"
Durzo said. He cleared his throat and looked away.
"Every new life costs the life of someone you love."
There it was, as simple as anything. If Durzo had told him that before the coup, everything would be different. Of course, Durzo had tried to tell him in the letter.
"Is there any way to stop it?"
Kylar asked.
"You mean stop your immortality? Or stop it from killing someone else?"
"Either, both."
"The wolf never told me the limits." "Maybe he didn't know himself. I avoided anything that would fully destroy my body, like burning or being drawn and quartered."
"And Kurok?"
Durzo shot Kylar a sharp look.
"A fatal blow from Kurok would blow apart the immortality magic. Jorson feared the Devourer. He made sure there was at least one way to kill an immortal."
Kylar had a sudden feeling of dislocation. He was talking with someone who had known Jorson Alcestis. Jorson Alcestis. And Jorson had feared the magic Kylar possessed.
"What about stopping it from costing someone else's life?"
Kylar asked.
Durzo sighed. You think in 7 centuries I didn't try? It's deep magic, kid. A life for a life. The wolf can delay it, but not stop it. And it's not easy, even for him. Kylar cleared his throat. What if I were killed by Kurok during the time between me dying and the person who is going to die for me dying? The look on Durzo's face made it clear that Kylar's question was far too specific for him to dismiss as theoretical.
Boy, you have no idea what Kurok is like.
Yes, I do. I threw it into Ezra's wood.
You what?
I made a deal with the wolf. I didn't get your note until afterward. Durzo rubbed his temples.
And what did he give you in return for the most powerful artifact in the world?
He brought me back to life faster, and gave me my arm back, which I kind of cut off.
Durzo's flat stare was all too familiar, despite that it was coming through almond-shaped eyes. It suggested he was seeing previously undredged depths of stupidity.
And between assassinating a god king and a Cenarian queen and rescuing a man from the hole and making a king of him, when did you squeeze in time to find and lose the world's most coveted magical sword?
Durzo asked.
It only took me a week. Lantano Garawashi had it. I dueled him for it.
Is he as good as they say?
Better, and he's not even talented.
Then how'd you win?
Durzo asked.
Hey!
Kylar protested.
Kylar, I trained you. You're not the best. Someday, maybe. So either he's not as good as they say, or you got lucky, or you cheated.
I got lucky,
Kylar admitted. Is it so bad, though? I mean, throwing Kurok in the wood?
Do you know who the wolf is?
Durzo asked.
That was the next question.
The better question is who the wolf was.
No one knows what he is now.
I'll bite.
Who was the wolf?
Kylar asked.
In Jorsan Alkesti's court, there was a mage with golden eyes. He was slightly less talented than Jorsan himself in terms of raw power, but whereas Jorsan had to learn the arts of war and leadership and diplomacy in addition to magecraft, the golden-eyed mage had only magecraft to study, and he was the kind of genius of magic, born once in 1,000 years. He had few graces and fewer friends, but Jorsan meant the world to him. In the war, he lost everything. Jorsan, all his tomes of magic, his only other friend, Oren Raisin, and his fiancée. He lost his sanity, too, and no one knows if he ever really regained it. He hid in a forest where he could work out his hatred. The forest, of course, took his name.
Ezra's wood,
Kylar whispered.
The wolf is Ezra?
Jorsan had a close friend who betrayed him. A man named Roy Garrus or Sul.
Oh, God.
During the war, Roy Garrus made something out of himself. We called it the Reaver. It was impervious to magic, faster than I thought. It killed thousands of us.
Durzo touched his cheek.
I was the first person to even wound it. My pockmarks are from where its blood sprayed me. Magic couldn't heal me. After the last battle, the Reaver was badly wounded. Instead of killing it, Ezra took it to the wood. 50 years later, there was a power struggle of some sort, and every living thing in that wood died. And dies to this day, whether animal, krull, mage, or the purest virgin. Armies from both north and south have perished there. Whatever it is, the wolf has been collecting artifacts for 7 centuries, and he gets the best of every deal.
Kylar felt suddenly cold.
What did you give him?
A couple of the Kakari. He wants them all, and Kurok,
And Eurus?
Eurus?
The companion to Curoc. The sword of power and the staff of law. Jorsen died the day Eurus was finished, before he could use it. No one knows what happened to it.
But what's the wolf trying to accomplish?
I don't know, Kylar.
We've held one Kakari and its power is awesome. Imagine what an Archmagus could do with seven Kakari and Curoc and Eurus.
Even if the wolf is Ezra, would you trust a madman with that much power? Would you even trust yourself? What if the wolf isn't Ezra? What if it's Roy Garrus?
So you've opposed him, Kylar said.
After I gave him the brown Kakari, I thought better of it. Since then, I've scattered Kakari to the ends of the earth. This is no short-term ambition. It has taken the wolf 700 years to get a few Kakari and now Curoc and, perhaps, Eurus. He doesn't care if it takes another 100 years to get the rest. This is part of your burden, to make sure he doesn't get them all.
But he might be on our side, Kylar said.
You tell that to all the innocents he's murdered. What do I tell all the innocents you've murdered?
Durzo blinked. He chewed on his lip.
The problem with the black Kakari is that it doesn't work in a mirror. I could never see the state of my own soul, and you can't see yours either. But if you wish, bring it to your eyes now. Judge me.
Kylar didn't dare. Durzo had poisoned dozens during the coup alone. There were surely hundreds, thousands more deaths on his soul. If Kylar saw profound guilt, he might not be able to stop himself from killing Durzo, or at least trying. It wasn't a fight he wanted to win, and now that he knew the cost of losing, that was even worse.
What should I do about the wolf? Kylar asked. Nothing now. But if you hear that Mount Tenji isn't spitting fire for the first time in 2 centuries, or you hear that the Talaxini maelstrom has stilled, you need to move fast.
Like I said, this is not a short-term threat. When does it end?
Durzo snorted. His hand moved to his belt, where he used to carry a small pouch of garlic cloves. He noticed and gritted his teeth. It could be hundreds of years. It could be 20. Giving him Curoc was a big mistake.
Thanks.
Can we win? Well, I'm mortal now, kid. At best, I have 30, 40 years left. I'm not terribly interested in tangling with the wolf. Can you win?
It's possible.
He can't live forever. His magic's only an imitation of ours. Yours.
He made one black Kakari. Why not make another one for himself? Kylar asked.
Made it? No. Ezra found it. He studied it to make the others, but they were all inferior copies.
It told me...
Let me guess. Something about being crafted with limited intelligence? The black Kakari was ancient when I was born, Kylar. It told you that so it wouldn't scare the shit out of you. You're sharing your head with a being whose power dwarfs yours.
I wouldn't say my power exactly dwarfs yours.
Give the fucker my regards, Durzo said.
I loved you better than you loved yourself, Achilles.
I have to say, though, if he tells you to move, do it,
Durzo said.
Right, thanks.
The first time the Kakari had spoken to Kylar, it told him to duck. He hadn't, and had taken an arrow right through the chest moments later.
Wait,
Kylar said.
You never answered my question about dying by Curoc before the Kakari kills someone in my place.
Don't, Durzo said. It's not the Kakari that kills anyone. It's us. You're 20 years old and you've died 5, 6 times? That's not the Kakari's fault.
Fine, it's my fault. Kurok?
Irritation passed over Durzo's face, but he let it go.
Dying by Kurok might leave the person you love alive.
Equally possible is that it will kill everyone you love. It's a feral magic. Kurok means the Sunderer. It was not intended for gentle things.
It's a bad gamble, kid.
Kylar exhaled, heavily.
This is all kind of a lot to absorb at once.
Then absorb while we ride. We're burning daylight.
They rode until dark and ate together, speaking only of inconsequential things. Kylar told Durzo everything that had happened in his absence. Durzo laughed, sometimes in the wrong places, as if laughing at similarities to his own memories. But more frequently than Kylar remembered him ever laughing before. Then, Durzo began telling stories. Kylar was surprised to find him an excellent raconteur.
I was a bard one life, Durzo said. I took it up to train my memory. I wasn't very good.
Some of the stories he told were familiar from bard's tales Kylar had heard, though the details were very different. He told of a young Alexin the Blessed, caught with dysentery in the mountains during his first campaign, taking off his plate cuisses and dropping his mail trousers to squat in the bushes, and then getting ambushed. His descriptions of Alexin fighting with a sword in one hand and trying to hike up his armor with the other had Kylar howling. Then Alexin tumbled down the mountain and fell 100 feet. They found him at the bottom without a scratch, or his trousers, which had caught in a tree 10 feet from the bottom of the ravine, slowing his fall and saving his life.
The Tomi used shitting as an intensifier. Like we might say someone was damn lucky, they said he was shitting lucky. That's why they called him Alexin the Shitting Lucky. Later, after some prude translated it, Alexin the Blessed. He was a good kid.
Durzo laughed. Then his smile faded.
Broke my heart to kill him. But he needed killing by the end.
Kylar looked at his master intently. He said,
You're different now.
Durzo said nothing for a long time. He was like a caterpillar, half metamorphosed. One minute he was the old, hard-as-nails Durzo. The next, he was this laughing, reminiscing stranger.
The wolf has worked with me for almost 700 years. Ezra and Roy Garris were the best healers ever. Whichever the wolf is, he's seen me die and come back dozens of times. He knows the magic and how exactly the Kakari worked with my body. But he isn't a prophet, at least not a natural-born one, unlike Dorian. So even with all his magic, he can only get bits and pieces. When I died, I think he spent a long time trying to figure out if my being alive one more time would help him or hurt him. Then he decided to raise me. Kylar wondered about that. The wolf had said Durzo's resurrection was a mystery, a gift. Was he simply being modest, or did he really not know how Durzo had come back? Anyway, by the time the wolf started working on me, my body had pretty much rotted away. So I feel like a new man. He grinned, then stirred their little fire, watching the sparks.
So this life is different, isn't it?
Kylar asked.
Sometimes to love is easy, but to accept love is hard. I used to always be the man who led the charge. The devourer steals that. Tell me, what kind of man would put his 8-year-old daughter at the spear tip of a cavalry charge?
A monster. But what kind of man would refuse to fight when his enemies threaten all he holds dear?
That's why I trained relentlessly. That's why I became the perfect killer, because every time I wasn't good enough, I murdered someone I love. I thought I finally defeated love when the Kakari abandoned me, but then there you were in the tower, standing athwart fate and crying. No. I realized three things as your crazy ass dove into the river. First, you cared about me. Kylar nodded silently. To hear Durzo say it without scoffing was alien, and the man seemed to marvel at it himself. Durzo plowed ahead. I knew your regard wasn't easily won, and I knew you'd seen darker sides of me than I'd let even most of my wives see. He chuckled. You know, I can ignore it when Count Drake loves me. He's a saint. He cares about everybody. No offense, but you're no saint. Kylar smiled. Durzo studied the fire. Second, He cleared his throat. I'd tried to root out feeling anything at all with drinking and whoring and killing and isolation. And I'd made myself into a monster, but I'd still failed. I still cared about you more than I cared about myself. That tells me something about myself. He grew quiet. And third? Kylar prompted. Third? Ah, hell, I don't remember. Oh, wait. I spent years beating into your skull how hard and unfair life is. And I wasn't wrong. There's no guarantee that justice will win out or that a noble sacrifice will make any difference, but when it does, there's something that still swells my chest. There's magic in that, deep magic. It tells me that's the way things are supposed to be. Why? How? Hell, I don't know. This spring I'll turn 700, and I still don't have it figured out. Most poor bastards only get a few decades. Speaking of which, Durzo cleared his throat. I've got bad news. Speaking of which what? Kylar asked, chest tightening. Life being unfair and all that. Oh, great, what is it? Luke Grayson? Kid you died on the wheel to save? It was more for Logan than for Luke, but what about him? Hanged himself, Durzo said. What? Who killed him? Scarred rabble? Kylar could see Mama Kay deciding that even a remote threat to Logan would have to be eliminated. No. He really hanged himself. Are you joking after what I did for him, that asshole? Durzo grabbed his blanket and lay down, resting his head on his saddle. Letting someone die for you can be tough. If anyone should understand that, it's you.